It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Monica Lovell, your hostess this morning. The beautiful Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad. Our guest for this morning is Pastor Larry Parvin. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm better than I deserve.
Amen. Me too.
Praise the Lord.
If you have a praise request or a prayer request, if you have a praise report or a prayer request,
either one,
you can send that three ways. You can send it by email, hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can text it to our text line, 580-485-0837. Or you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out this morning?
We will. Father, we thank you and praise you for your many blessings, the promises that you've given us, the fact that you keep your promises, that we can stand on your word. And, Lord, I just pray that we would learn to just trust you in everything. At all times. Thank you for the praises that we visited with while we were waiting on the computer to work and come up, and just praise you for what you're going to do today. And Lord, we love you. Lord, there's folks out there that need to be encouraged. There's folks out there that need to know you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, I just pray that Holy Spirit, that you would just take your word today and help us to grow in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning. Is Jesus first?
Is Jesus first? Mm. He is first. The question is he first in your life?
Come on.
Yeah, I know it. That's hard. Yeah. I say it is. I even had Clyde Bottoms make me a cap 20-some years ago with Jesus first on it. I wore it everywhere I went. And then you get to thinking about it. You're going to advertise something. You really ought to be doing it. And we love Jesus. Jesus loves you. Jesus is always faithful.
Amen.
Jesus said, "I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you." And trust me, he never does. Even when we leave him and forsake him. Well, that's hard to say, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You say, "Well, I never do." Well, you just did, because you just lied. We all have our moments, but thank God that Jesus doesn't quit us. He doesn't give up on us. But we need to keep in mind as we think about walking with Christ that we focus a lot today on the love of God. I mean, and God is a God of love. The Bible says God is love. The Bible says we know what love is. John did in 1 John that we know what love is because God first loved us. For God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. For all those that believe in him won't perish, be separated from him, but they'll have eternal life. He's always faithful. I had one of them moments. But he's always there for us. But sometimes we allow life to distract us. We allow life to get us away from the word, get us away from the Lord. But I don't know where I was going. I'm back now. And we do need to focus on the love of God, because he is love, and he is merciful, and he's faithful, and he's great, and he's awesome. And he is the in the beginning God created, in the beginning God. I mean, and we're all here because of him. And we're all his. We're not all his, but he created all of us, and not everybody's going to be saved. There are those out there trying to tell us that everybody's going to be saved. There is no hell. There is no God of love can't do that. But we got to be careful that we don't allow the love of God. The love of God never does away with God's justice and God's judgment. And we need to remember that. But I just want to read with you as we think about who we are and what we're doing, that Jesus makes it very clear I guess what the Lord has laid on my heart and I'm trying to say here as we get started, and messages in Rome. Actually, I want to read from Romans chapter 8. There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But then Romans 8:2-3 said, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Melba Ruth Boswell got me that, helped me. We used to talk about that verse all the time. But it's one of my favorite verses. They're all my favorite verses. But for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:33 in the Sermon on the Mount, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? The things that you need to live, to eat, what you're going to wear. Seek first his kingdom. What do you mean by that? I think he meant seek first him, because he is the kingdom. I mean, we're to seek him and his life. And then he goes on to tell us in verse 15, he tells us in verse 13 of chapter 7, to enter through the narrow gate, for gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it. And as you look at the wording of that passage, he is talking about that the wide path leads to destruction. It's all downhill. It's easy. That narrow path, that wording of that means there's obstacles in the way. It's difficult. It takes effort on your part to find that narrow path, and it takes a dedication and a devotion and a commitment. I read the other day a fella, and I can't remember who said that, but it's kind of dangerous to talk about how that we always talking about how we commit. I commit my life to Christ. I commit my life to Christ, but a commitment, you girls tell me if I'm being too picky here, but, and the guy said that it's not, commitment is not all there is to it. There has to be submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Either he's Lord or he's not. And if he's the Lord, I'm not, and I need to submit to him. And like Mary did, be it unto me behold the bond slave of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your what?
Will.
Your word, your will, but yeah. According to your word, Lord, what you want. And I'm still growing to be there. I'm not, well, I still got a ways to go. But how you doing there? But if we would just truly submit our lives to Christ, allow him to do what he wants to do in our life, doesn't mean we're not going to have trouble, because he said we're going to have persecution in this life. But we're not going to have it in the next. There's some that are going to have it in the next. But he said that they entered through the gate that's narrow. Then he tells us to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Said you'll know them by their fruits. And this is just pretty simple stuff, but we need to think about it. You don't get grapes from do you get the grapes from thorn bushes? Do you get figs from thistles? Every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Jesus and John the Baptist both made the comment that the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. So then you will know them by their fruits. What's Jesus trying to tell us in that little bit there, that you'll know them by their fruits? He's saying you can claim to be mine. You can say that you commit your life to me. But if you're not bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you're not mine. And then he goes on, and this was the main part I wanted to just really get us to think about, is the two foundations. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And then he says, is he trying to give us a lesson there in architecture? I guess he is trying to tell us how to build our life, how that we can truly be strong in the face of what we're going to be facing on this planet, how we can truly be strong with all the chaos in the world today. And when we get, and keep that world, the flesh and all that in mind, because we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But anyway, he said, everyone who hears these words of mine, what was their foundation? What's the foundation he's trying to tell us about? Verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act like them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. What did he tell us? He said that the man who built his house on the rock is compared to the one who had heard the words of his and acted on. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them can be compared to the wise man who built his house on the rock. What are you building on today? Are you building on the sand and the storms of life that are, all of the chaos and the wars and the fear and the confusion? And I don't want to focus too much on that, but there's just a lot of people that are uneasy and worried, just don't have any peace today. They're scared of the future. They're scared for their kids. That's building on the sand. But if we'll trust God's word and put our trust in and submit to him, we're building on the rock. And when these storms are not going to hurt us, they're going to affect us. And that depends on where your focus is. Are you living according to the world and living in the flesh, wanting to hang on to this world, or are you wanting to live within the law of the Spirit of life and follow Christ? His kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is of that next world, but his kingdom is here. The kingdom came with him, and he is the Word, the living Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We need to listen to Jesus. We need to come to Jesus. And, man, he loves you. You know what? Nobody's ever loved you the way Jesus does. We just throw them words around too much sometimes. Some people really love some, but you know, Jesus really did. How do I know Jesus loved me?
Because the Bible says so.
The Bible says he did.
And he proved it by his son.
Yes, he did. What's Romans 5:8 say? I'm going to have to get it clicked up, but Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love for us. He didn't just tell us and then go back here. And Jesus is living his word here. He said, you will know them by their what?
Fruit.
By their fruits. Mm-hmm. Jesus embodied the fruit of the Spirit. And he has empowered us with his Spirit for us to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We just have to decide which foundation we're going to build on, if you will. We got to decide which kingdom we're going to be a part of. Mm-hmm. Am am I going to be a part of Larry Parvin's kingdom over here? I hope Larry Parvin's kingdom is the kingdom of God. But we get that. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to allow life. And I guess the Holy Spirit just is trying to convict us and get us into the Word. But how do I get where I'm supposed to be? Read the Word. Study the Word. Get in the Gospels. Read the Word. And you know, the Bible says in Romans, let's kind of help flesh that out a little bit. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we're all sinners. We've all sinned. Neva, you sinned? Neva's probably the only one that hadn't. We're all sinners. The Bible says so. Paul said, God, the Holy Spirit through Paul said that we've all sinned. And the law of the Spirit, the laws of God say, and we do live by law. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. We don't live by the Old Testament. We do. But anyway, the law of the in Romans 6:23, how does it begin? The wages of sin is death. Then it's not just physical death, but spiritual death, separation from God for all eternity. Basically, if you're not wanting to live for God here, why would you want to live for God for all eternity? Oh yeah, and it's very dangerous when we preach a easy believism that if I'll just say that I just make that commitment verbally with my mind and not my heart, it's awful easy for us to confirm people, to get people to thinking that they're truly saved when they're truly, truly not. We'll kind of help that here in a little bit too, I think. But the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For God demonstrated his love for us, and while we were yet sinners, in Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9-10 says, if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, it's not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, and believe that, hey, I am a sinner, and I cannot save myself, but Jesus came, God became flesh, Christ, the Son, died on the cross to pay the punishment, because the wages of sin is death, for my sin, so that I could be made the righteousness of Christ. That's the gospel. That's the simple gospel. That he came to do that for me, and then I follow his word and build my life on him. And what he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to the wise man who built his house on the rock. But if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, Paul tells us. Then Romans 10:13 says that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord will be saved. And believe, and that believe means more than just believe with my mind. That word believes means I put my life in your hands. I trust you. I'm all yours. I submit. I died to myself. Paul said that in Galatians 2:20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. I'm no longer living for myself. I'm going to live for Jesus. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. So we die to ourselves, and we allow the Holy Spirit to take up residence in our heart and life, and we are his. That's salvation. That is being born again, being born from above. Isn't that awesome?
That's so awesome. Yeah. You know, Larry, that just yesterday, my old flesh raised up, and I had to ask God to forgive me, because my neighbor knocked on my door yesterday morning.
Yep.
And when my grandson said, Grandma, he said his name, he's here. Yeah. Neighbor's here.
Yeah.
I, quick in the flesh, I'm not doing this this morning. Yeah. I'm trying to get ready for church.
Yeah.
And then I heard, and ooh, when I heard it, I felt it. Guess what? I had to get over myself, my little self, and tell that flesh, you need to shut up and sit down.
Yep.
And I had to go, and I went and opened the door. Do you know what he wanted?
What?
He wanted to go to church.
He wanted to go to church. Yeah.
And when we went to church, he worshiped.
Yeah.
That's the first time that he's ever been to church with me.
Yeah.
That he sang and worshiped the Lord.
Yeah. That's awesome. It is. And how often do we do that?
It just
a blessing. Yeah.
I'm disappointed in myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But God is so faithful.
He is.
You know, when we have to be sent, we have to be willing to hear him.
Yes.
When he goes,
Yeah. And that comes from being in constant fellowship with him. And that's what made, when we've submitted to him and the Holy Spirit's leading us and we are walking with Christ. We talk about walking with Christ all the time. But, you know, when we're walking with him, we don't have to catch up with him when something happens, because if we're walking with him, he's right there.
Yeah.
He's right there. But if I've ran ahead, or if I've run off to the side, or because there's things that the flesh is going to go want to do. Now, we don't lose our salvation, and the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. But there's times when we as believers want to go in this direction, and Jesus will say, like you said, he'll say, go see how that works out for you.
Boy, howdy.
It don't work out, but he's always there to tuck us, because that's 1 John 1:9, if we will confess our sins. And admit, and when that word confess means to agree with, to say, and to agree that, hey, I was wrong, Lord, forgive me. That's confession, is agreeing with God that what you did was wrong. Coming back, he's always there to accept us. And not just to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So knowing all of this and what we're talking about, why is it so hard when we talk about when putting Jesus first? The flesh.
Come on.
There's a battle going on within us. Paul talked about that. There was a Earl Tucker out at Buffalo was the first one that told me this story, but we were talking about this passage probably. We're going to look at here and he talked about the Indian chief was telling his son about the struggle that goes on within us. And he said it's like two wolves in us fighting, one wanting to do good and one wanting to do bad. And he said, well, Dad, which one wins? And he said, whichever one you feed the
most.
That's
right.
So if you focus your eyes and your mind on evil and filth and the flesh, you're going to reap that old evil dog's going to win.
Yeah.
But when we'll get in the Word and we'll spend time and stay close to Jesus, he'll lead us in the path of righteousness.
Amen.
And that's where we need to be. But it is a struggle.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of folks that, with regarding what we've just read, we know what Jesus said about putting him first. Study the Word, building on the foundation, which is the Word of God, and his command and his will for your life is way better than whatever your dreams are for your own life.
Yes.
And when we are... Once we're saved, as Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. And what do you mean? And take up your crosses. I died to those dreams that I had and quit that occupation that I had and was willing to allow the Lord to lead me in a direction that I really didn't, that I really wasn't ready to go. But he made it very clear. And it's just been such a blessing. Have I had struggles? Yes, we all do. And any pastor that tells you he doesn't have struggles, go find you another church, because he's not being honest. Because the devil, when you decide you're going to live for Jesus, the devil's going to come at you.
Yep.
He can't win, but he can distract you, and he can keep you messed up. But how do I defeat that? By staying in the Word, staying in prayer, in constant communion, because John tells us in 1 John, doesn't he, that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So who's in the world? The devil, he's the ruler of this world. But it takes to stay focused on who. And here's a verse, one of the verses that almost everybody that knows anything about the Bible will claim, Romans 8:1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is just an awesome, awesome, awesome promise. But it is there's a qualifier there, who are in Christ Jesus. That means that Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Staying in him, fellowship with him, where he is in us and with us. And that there is now therefore. But again, and notice what it says. And in the King James Version, the next phrase there is, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, which in the New American Standard, it's not there. But that was, if you'll notice in the King James, that's in parentheses. So, but that phrase is mentioned in verse 5, who says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit set their things on the Spirit. Back up to verse 2, says, there is now therefore no condemnation in Christ Jesus, verse 1, but verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free.
I like freedom.
From the law of sin and death. I do too, freedom. And Jesus said, I have come to so that you could be free. But what is it that sets us free? You shall know the truth.
And the truth.
And the truth shall set you free. And the truth is what? What is truth? You know, Pilate asked Jesus, said, what is truth? And Jesus didn't answer him, but Jesus could have said, I'm the truth. Because he is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. And apart from me, you can't do anything, he said. But we're dead. We're spiritually dead without Christ.
I remember being spiritually dead, Larry.
Yeah.
And you know, God didn't have a problem with me. I had the problem with God.
Yep.
God was sitting there. Come on, child. Yep. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up, child. But I had such anger from the hurt. And I blamed God. I'm just gonna be really real right now. No sugar added.
Yep.
And no sweetener. Whew, that's surprising. You know, I was a very angry person.
Yeah.
And in my mindset, it was God's fault.
Yep.
He is God.
He gets all
He could have stopped it. He allowed this to happen. He did the, you know. Yep. And I had to get my mind renewed.
Yep.
I had some real stinking thinking.
Yep.
And I had to get that. I had to retrain my mind and my thought pattern.
Yep.
You know, like whenever you go walk in somewhere and a lot, there's a path.
Yeah.
I had a bad thinking path.
Yeah, be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
And I had to, and it wasn't always easy, and that stinking thinking still rears its head sometimes, the flesh, and it's like, no, you get back down there.
That's a struggle we're talking about, them two natures. Yeah. Yep. But, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it's setting you free from the law of sin and death. That's that law of sin and death that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. We're living for the world, and when we live apart from Christ, we don't have the law of life. And that's when we go to heaven, when things don't go the way according to our plan. Yeah. We are mistreated. People don't treat us. That's just the flesh. But hear what he says. But there we do. There's more than one. There's more than one law that we live by on this planet. I'm not talking. And we still do. Jesus didn't come to do away with the Ten Commandments. He came to fulfill them.
Amen.
And he
Come
did.
On.
I've had people try to tell me that we don't need to even go to the Old Testament. But anyway, we fulfill the those are fulfilled in Christ in us. But anyway, we live by the law of gravity. If we don't, we get hurt. You know what? You don't like law, and there are no absolutes in this world. They try to tell us in this culture we live in. Well, jump off your roof and see how that works for you.
Right.
Because you're going to hit the ground. Yeah. That's just the law. Unless you got a trampoline, you're still going to hit something.
Yeah.
You better have some padding because it's going to hurt. But there is a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit of life in Christ, and that's what God and Christ want for us, the Holy Spirit. But there's also that law of sin and death. When we choose the flesh, to live in the flesh, we have chosen the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is that the soul that sins shall die. That's been true since the beginning. Adam and Eve messed up. They got kicked out of the garden. You know the story. But old Satan, the world. But let's go on and look at, is it time for a break? Or this will be a good time.
It's not a good time.
I just don't want, yeah.